Teresa.
Of Section 6 of the Superior Court Act 2013.
Alderman Stacey, Mike Smith, Alderman Stacey. What they propose are that the bill should define the way professional assistants. Although the legal practice bill does not define the way professional assistants, yes, we have revised that. I mean, we have defined the way professional assistants to be an attorney, practicing the profession of attorney, not for own account or in partnership, and who does not require a certificate. On that definition, that the typo there and the way the last identity needs to be deleted, and we thought about that share and what that is. Coming to page 5 of the document, there was a suggestion that superior court should be defined. But no, rather than define the way we thought it prudent, we rather be descriptive and describe what the High Court are. This would be the High Court, the Supreme Court of Appeal, or the Constitutional Court. Share with the definition, because of the inception of the definition of professional assistance, the numbering has also changed away, and the numbering now goes to goes up to M rather than just the L, because that has been because of the ending up of the definition of professional assistance. On page 6, there is also an interesting way in clause 3 of just to elaborate on the web council, on the council of the law society, also just a technical amendment there suggested by the LSSA. Let's nothing on page 7. And now coming to page 8, on clause 7, is a test similar to the one that I talked about earlier, where the superior court is being described rather than being defined as it was suggested by the Office of the Premier Research. Okay, coming to page 9, there's nothing there on page 9. Page 10 is also the technical amendment that has been suggested by the LSSA, similar to the one that I talked about earlier. Page 11, there's nothing there.
Sorry, maybe just as a practical arrangement, are we going to go through the act or the amendments now in total before we engage with it again, or are we to?
Yes, first, I'll tell you.
If the committee says should they be passed or page by page, or engage on each change, then that will also be fine.
Honourable Member, can't we note what we want to raise later? Let her take us through, and then we can come back.
If I understand you, only dealing with the issues to the right. We're not dealing, so I agree with you. Let it go through with the additions, the double underline, and then you can consider all the amendments.
Okay. Thank you.
That's
not
wrong. And
yeah. Okay.
AIDS family, there should be some sort of safe guard for the local guide, so that when they consider the application for the change of name, then they should do that in accordance with the rules of the particular law society, be it the Cape Law Society, or the law society of the Northern Provinces. And that, Chair, I must add that we engaged with the law societies and the NSSA on this, as well as with the other changes, and they were happy that the change of name should be done in accordance with the rules, or rather with the provision, with the safeguard that has been put there. On the third page 14, the same clause in sub 7, the bill still refer to memorandum, to articles of association, and that was an oversight that we only noticed this morning that needs to be changed to memorandum of incorporation in terms of the new companies act, as the amendment suggests. So we'll also take care of that. On page 16, there's no change there. Page 16, the Western Cape Premier's office suggested that we revisit the wedding of magistrates there. We've done it, and that is the change that is there. And clause 21 on the very same page 16, that is the provision that will provide for the, amongst others, the change of names, and we replace the deleted the whole clause 21 and replace it with a new one, where then we provide for the new names which have also been agreed to by the NSSA and the law society. And in which case there will no longer be any references to the Orange Free State, the Transvaal, or Natal Law Society, and that provides for the new names, and the law society has agreed to that. Clause 1 of that clause 21 provides as follows, because it's for the continued existence of certain law societies, and it reads as follows: the law societies known as the Law Society of the Cape of Good Hope, the Law Societies of the Orange Free State, the Law Society of the Transvaal, the Law Society, the Natal Law Society, from the date of from the commencement of Section 21, which is the very clause, Section 21 of the Tenants Amendment Act 2014, continue to exist as juristic persons under the following names. In the case of the Cape Law Society, the Law Society referred to in paragraph A, which would be the Law Society of the Cape of Good Hope. The Cape Law Society in the case of, okay, number two, the Law Society of the Free State in the case of the Law Society referred to in paragraph B, the Law Society of the Northern Provinces in the case of the Law Society referred to in paragraph C, and KwaZulu Natal Law Society in case of the Law Society referred to in paragraph B. In clause or sub 2, there we are removing all the references to the old names. Coming to page 20, the change that is there is the one that was proposed by the LSSA, that the wealth in sub 5, the wealth action should be substituted for court proceedings.
Chief, I may just come in, it's really only sub clause 1 that's changed. So your sub clauses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 5 are the same as they were in the introduced law, but only the references to the old names have been amended. So it's really sub clause 1 that Ms. Ross has read out. It's important to read and digest it. It's new, but sub clauses 2, 3, 4, and 5 are really what was in the bill as it was introduced, and the only changes there are to the names. What we've tried to do, Chair, is just to show we've only double underlined where we've made changes to the existing bill. That's right, yes. And you'll see in clauses 2, there's double underlining to make it easier for members so that they can see this is really it's all new, it's the same, if you understand what I'm saying, it's the same as the introduced book, that we're just trying to show where the changes have been made, and the changes are only in respect of the names. This when we do the A list, we will sort all that out.
In clause 23 on page 51, the changes there are just technical and as suggested by the LSSA. Clause 24 on page 22, there's nothing there. And clause 25, also the changes are there, technical. Also suggested by the LSSA. Then on clause 25, the change that is there is we deleted the law society of the Transvaal there to and substituted it for the law society of the Northern Provinces. And then clause 26. The change there, we deleted the word which just to make the reading easier. And then coming to page 27, it was suggested that because of the situation of the candidate attorneys in former Bophuthatswana or from the Bophuthatswana Law Society who may find themselves in a situation that they have, by the time this bill becomes an act, they have complied with the all the requirements of being admitted and enrolled as attorneys, but have not attended the training as provided for in Section 15 of the Attorney's Amendment, because that requirement or because that training is not a requirement in terms of their act. And this provision is just to allow them to be admitted and enrolled as attorneys despite the fact that they did not attend the training. Page 28. The change that will be in page 28. because of the numbering, because of the insertion of this new clause 5. And as a result, the numbering has changed today. And what's the sentence?
Thank you very much, Honorable Charles. If anyone wants to go to section by section, but I just want to comment on the name changes. I will recall that I said I was not opposed to the change of names as long as there is consultation. And I understand that there has not been consultation, and there's a written letter from the Law Society that they are in agreement with the change. So I support the change in general. But I do just want to alert us to the fact that the legal practice bill, which is now before the President for signature, refers to the other names. So one will either probably have to amend it after the President has signed it in a later judicial matters bill or something, I don't know. Or we can ask the President to refer it back to Parliament. That was the late matters, I suppose. But I just want to alert us to that provision as well, Chair.
If there's such a reference, maybe I'd appreciate it, Mr. Swart, just refreshing my memory. I can't recall where it is, but if that isn't indeed the case, I understand it is the case, then we would have to amend the legal practice bill once it is assented to by the President. There might be one or two other issues that come up during the 3-year period lifespan of the National Forum, negotiating forum, and I'm sure there will be some other issues that do need to be attended to. So that won't have any bearing, I think, on our bill, but we will make sure that it is adapted accordingly, that the legal practice act bill is adapted accordingly.
The President hasn't assented. We don't know when he's going to do that. Is that not something that we can consider, that we get, he refers that bill back to us? Because now we have this law talking about other law societies that are talking about something else. It's inconsistent.
Yeah, I
think it didn't harm you. I think that.
Chair, I wouldn't propose that. I think it would delay. I would be worried that it would delay the legal practice, the implementation of the legal practice bill. And when we know that there might be other amendments of a technical nature that are going to probably be made to the legal practice, and my suggestion would be is let it continue with its processing and that we deal with all amendments at the same time. Otherwise, we're going to really delay the implementation of the legal practice.
Chair, there's nothing to prevent us, because the President has not yet sent it to the bill, and I do understand that there are submissions before the President from various parties raising issues that are outstanding. He hasn't taken a decision on that yet. There's nothing to prevent us as the portfolio committee writing to him to alert him to that effect as well. But again, as Mr. Bassett says, it might cause some delay, but there is the point that he is considering petitions from various political parties on the legal practice bill at the moment. Chair, the section is 96, by the way, the National Forum on Legal Professions, which refers to the different law societies, 96.1A Roman 1 of the legal practice bill.
96.1A Roman 1.
In the light of what Honorable Sharp is saying, would there be any problem in just writing to the President, alerting him that there is this situation?
I'll certainly do that, Chair. I'm just wondering, and I haven't dealt with something like this, with the status of the legal practice bill as it is. It's not law yet, it's still a bill, and I would just like to get some advice from the law advisors, the state law advisors, whether it is possible in this bill to amend another bill, but that's a situation of slip bill. I don't think think it can be. So no, I said myself, we won't be able to do that. But we will alert the presidency.
So the issue, I'm just thinking, Archie, is maybe just to look into whether it is correct for a department to alert the president, because remember, the president can only confirm matters back on constitutionality. Otherwise, the president can, of his own accord, amend legislation, and that impacts on the separation of power. So I think one needs to look very carefully at that.
I think if my memory says well, the legal practice bill was going to actually dissolve the voting rights for us to have candidates. What I'm thinking is that because we're dealing with this bill now, we may proceed with the suggested bill. But once the bill is set in a friendly situation, then we could then, therefore, take the names of the new legislation. Let's leave it at this. For now, for the purpose of dealing with this bill, let's take the names of presenters and then allow the other process to continue. And then naturally we'll have to then amend this bill at the later stage.
Honourable members, there's a suggestion which I think is very logical.
Aware of this inconsistency because that can nine members, 16 legal practitioners, 8 designated by the LSSA, and so goes on, one of which represents the Law Society of the Cape of Good Hope, one of which represents the Law Society of the Orange Free State, one of which represents the Law Society of the Transvaal, and one of which represents the Natal Law Society. So I don't think this is a huge problem. It's a technicality that can be fixed. And if the committee wants to write to the president, I think that would be a good idea. But this can be amended once the law is assented to by the president, and it can be done quite quickly and quite easily. But I stick under correction. There is a provision, and why I say I don't think it is too much of a legal problem, now, which I have the Interpretation Act with me, because there is a provision in the Interpretation Act of 1957, which this happens often in legislation. When new legislation is written and names are changed, and the provision in the Interpretation Act is something to the effect that, and I haven't got it here, and I'm hoping some of my colleagues might remember, if there is that situation, that you would refer, that would be meaning that it's going back to the old is a reference to the new at the time.
Yeah, the only thing is that the other act has not yet been assented to.
Yeah.
So I think that it would really be useful that we are on record as alerting the president of that situation, because someone who is not may come and make an issue out of that inconsistency.
Yeah, this is really helpful, Chair. That is, in terms of Section 110 of the Legal Practice Bill, which relates to the Fidelity Fund part, and it says, for the purposes of this part, Law Society means the Law Society referred to in Section 56 of the Attorneys Act. Now, that will be amended then. So, parts of this act will refer to the amended name. And one can bring that to the attention of the president to say, already you've got a clause in this act which envisages Section 56 of the Attorneys Act as amended. So when this is signed, it will kick in, the new names will kick in for that part. And therefore, as a matter of consistency, there's no harm to refer to the rest of the bill as the names have been changed.
So we agree that we'll do that letter to the president from the committee, and then that will cure any defect. Agreed? Okay, thank you. Can we proceed?
Chair, I'm not too sure how the committee wants to deal with it. We've been through all the proposed amendments that were tabled. There was talk earlier on in this meeting that we must go through the bill, and we would just appreciate guidance on how you want to deal with it. When we did the briefing, we discussed the amendments, the principles behind the amendments. I'm not too sure whether you want us to go through that again. And we would appreciate your guidance.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to comment about professional assistance on page 4. And to say that we have to use that label, professional assistance. Or on the approach. I thought the approach that I thought was agreed to was that they will go through the bill and then you will engage after that. I don't know. This is what I'm trying to do now, to engage. You want it to be close by close?
Page two. Everything on page two.
Nothing.
Nothing. Then
there will be uncertainty as to what the situation will be with professional assistance in the employment of legal aid in South Africa, for example. Currently, the way I understand it, the directors of the different legal aid clinics act as the principals, and the number of so-called article clerks they may employ differs from the number of article clerks an attorney in private practice may employ. So I think we should just, in our definition and in approving this, that professional assistants may act as principals, we must just look at all different scenarios.
Have we agreed that professional assistants may act as principals? Have we agreed to that?
That's what the amendment will do.
In terms of how many years they would have
My worry is consistency, because you need to be consistent with the terms and the language that you use throughout in all pieces of legislation. You're going to find that in some areas, and especially in it will create confusion for the legal profession.
Or retained by a person practicing the profession of attorney, then it goes down, and this is an insertion now under J. If he or she is an attorney who has practiced as a professional assistant in a firm of attorneys or as a professional company for a period of 5 years within the preceding 6 years, is that not clear enough? Is that not clear enough? Do we then need to define professional assistant? Because I think that's the only reference to professional
assistant. Overall, you have a very good neighbor there. I think we should follow him.
Because we are here as a professional assistant in a firm of attorneys or at a professional company for 5 years. Is that not clear?
You see, Chair, what is problematic is if you get to practice, then there's also what is called consultants and associates, and as a matter of fact, many of them actually is professional assistants. So, you know, I can just see the Law Society struggling ultimately unless we define what we see as a professional assistant.
I think with respect to Honourable Hall, the definition speaks for itself in the act. You don't need to do anything extra.
Contest means change will be by whom the candidate attorney may be engaged. So professional assistants will then be able to engage a candidate attorney. The partnership.
Let's make life simple for all of you. Mr. Bassett proposed that we don't need a definition. And from this discussion, it follows that there's really no need for a definition. Can we let matters rest? Right?
Yes.
Mr. Bassett.
Thank you. I would agree. You know, if anybody would wanted that definition, I think it would have come from the legal profession itself and from the LSSA, who made comments on the bill. The fact that they didn't is also probably an indication that a definition isn't that necessary, especially now that this is just interim legislation.
Now, we really appreciate the effort of the Premier to make a contribution to this process. But I think we should agree that at this point we don't need it.
Is there a reference in the title to the fact that the regulate engagement, to further regulate the engagement of candidate attorneys? Is that what it is, this amendment? Because I would like some reference to be made in the title to the bill, to this. Is it covered? Because what we asked is a change now from...
No. In a way, it stands to further regulate the engagement of attorneys. If you allow professional assistants to engage as in black, that should be covered under that.
Yes.
Page 5, let's proceed.
Definition of the principal state. You can find it.
Page 5. Thank you.
This is a different matter altogether to the change of name. This one has a reference to the suggestion or the proposal of the fund in terms of which they propose that when the a local firm of attorneys apply to use the name of, say, another firm or an overseas firm, then the local firm must approve that name, and that name is to be approved in writing. Now, the fund requested that as a safety mechanism, there should be some reference to what will guide the law society in making a determination and agreeing finally to the use of a name. It doesn't refer to the change of name.
Uh-huh.
But,
there was lots of debate about whether or not we really want to say our law firms should use foreign names. What are we saying about that? It's not addressed anyway.
Chair, I personally think that if anything, such names have been approved without them practicing already. We already have quite a few firms practicing under the names of international law firms. In fact, I do know for a fact that about 2 months or 3 months ago, our law society approved one such application. So that is already happening. And I'm not sure what we're going to do about that. We're going to propose that.
So
the thing
should really just limit it, I think.
I believe that is still just moving with the times.
Colonization. Okay. Mr. Bassett.
Yes, I really just confirm what has just been said, that this provision is really to bring the law into line with what is happening in practice. I think it's also set out in clause in paragraph 3.6 of the memorandum of the object member, which we
responded.
I've been clarified. I think I was confusing it with the question of the name, so it's clear. It's just that one thing is if the banks are owned from outside, the law firms are owned outside, we may be losing control of the country at the end of the day. But anyway, let's proceed.
Thank you.
name change, is that also covered now? Staff transfers, we don't want the director now to be out of the job. Is that covered? Is it? Is changing names, but are the rights and obligations to the changed name body also going across? Is that something we need to look at?
Sure, that. That society is the ones that, as if I put it one of, for instance, spend a law society.
This came from the fourth parliament, as you had said, and these law societies were arranged according to the two republics, Transvaal, I think, and the Free State. I think there was another. There were four. Now, are we trying to keep the culture within the four? For instance, why did they not change to align with the provinces? Why have you bundled the northern provinces? I mean, how big is that law society? It includes how many provinces? So was this convenient to keep the old culture or for instance, why did it not change to align with what's happening now? Why are we still in a fit to keep it as it was? Because unfortunately for me, given what happened through 94 till now, if that happens, the culture inside, nothing, just the name changes, the culture really does not shift.
Thank you, yes. I refer to the legal practice board, and this was debated at length, and the legal practice board in clause 23 deals with the establishment of provincial councils. Provincial councils are going to replace what we refer to as law societies. And in terms of clause 23, the National Legal Practice Council must progressively establish a provincial council in every province of the Republic. So the Legal Practice Bill already sees, wants, or requires regional councils at the end of the day. But it does. I think there's a provision. Yes, it does foresee an incremental approach, but at the end of the day, it sees as individuals 9 regional councils, because clause 23 of the legal practice book goes on to say the council must, when this act first comes into operation, establish at least 4 provincial councils. And the reason why they said right at the beginning there must be the 4 is for the sake of continuity and allow the other regional councils to be put in place as and when funds and feasibility having been done. So yes, there are 4 and they are going to continue at the beginning of the implementation of the legal practice bill, but there will eventually be 9.
Honourable Chavalana, your fears are correct. It's just that there are practical considerations why this should be done progressively and not overnight. But otherwise, there's no intention to keep the old culture. So the legal practice bill will address it.
The concept that you have. Mr. Chair, you to perhaps appease the honourable member. They
don't think they are persuaded.
Okay. Sorry. The fact is, ma'am, that while the lady has mentioned that indeed the so-called food culture still persists in the law society. The fact is that since 1998, there has been participation by structures or constituencies which were not normally part of the law society structures prior to 1994. So the power, if we were to call that, of the previous governments has been diluted somewhat by the presence in the law societies of members of the two organizations, BLA and SJA, and which was intended in this manner being to seek to transform the law societies. The fact of the legal practice deal is that it changes the whole structure to a legal practice council, which is in a sense slightly different from the current law societies.
Thank you, Madam.
Can we proceed to page 21?
The first option is subject as a matter of drafting
on page 21. Subject.
Every practitioner who becomes a member, say, so he becomes a member for the first time, then it says after he becomes a member, in a period determined by the society, is it necessary to say after the practitioner becomes a member? Is it just from a drafting? It seems quite. Every practitioner who becomes a member for the first time must, within a period determined by the society, provide the society. Surely he's only have to say after the practitioner becomes a member.
Was that not intended to deal with those people from their former Baptist and Protestant?
That is the situation, Chair. I think maybe those words are superfluous.
If so, I'm not sure, because there might be some reason for it, but it does seem you're repeating it. Every practitioner, you become a member, that's a given. For the first part, must, and then you can describe to say, within the period determined by that society,
I think Honorable Sol is right. There should just be any practitioner who becomes a member of any society for the first time, must, and then you go. If after the practitioner becoming a member, this is just the one in this meeting, the minute you learn to become a member, there are requirements in.
Agreed. Page 32.
university, how are we going to now determine what period applies? Because it's provided for requirements for such agreements to be completed within 5 years, or within such period as a future act of parliament may determine. How are we going to decide where the legal certainty then? Because the person comes and after 5 years he hasn't finished his degree, and there could be an act of parliament in the future, say 6 years, 6, 7 years. And he says, no, look, I haven't complied with the first part, but there may be an act in parliament in the future. So therefore I must be admitted. Is that legal uncertainty or am I with, yeah, so you will rule
this. Thanks, Chair. I think this is a section that really needs to have built-in control mechanisms, because it's an act that actually takes care of change. And maybe we need in this area some regulations. Enabling regulations. Then they will actually address the concern that Honorable Staff has got. Indeed, it can definitely become problematic.
Type of degree that would qualify you to be admitted, and phrase of language there that it says, provided it is completed within 5 days. I think the invasion was specific.
That's what I wanted to say, but then also I wanted to ask the question, because clearly then the education system would have changed subsequently to standardize, and if it has not changed, it shouldn't be addressed in this piece of legislation, because what are we saying here? Yeah, there's one education system in South Africa. We are already saying in an act of parliament that there are differences and they are not equal. So if they are not equal, it should be addressed separately. That's what I would say. It shouldn't be contained here, because then it's an administration issue. Maybe it should fall under a policy or whatever, but not under a law. And even in the case where it was affirmative action to bring them on board, I would still say that you should say this is the requirement, and whoever, because we know our internal issues as South Africans, where we have come from since 1994, then a separate policy should say, you know, for those that didn't qualify, bring them up to. But as it sits here, I mean, it looks extremely negative.
Thank you, Chair. I think we should just remind ourselves that this is transitional arrangement, so it's not forever. And then, having said that, one must also remind ourselves that many of these universities actually don't exist in themselves anymore. The way I understand it, for example, with respect to the University of Botswana, which was amalgamated with the old Potchefstroom University to form the Northwest University, is that they, as also a transitional arrangement, agreed on a certain period in which this specific law degree, which enabled residents of the old Botswana to become attorneys, would still be, that the course would still be kept intact to enable students who, for example, have completed their 2 years of the 4-year study to complete that degree and not necessarily have to start over with the LLB at Northwest University. So at best, this is going to be some exception and only for a short period. That's the way I understand it.
I still go back to the idea that maybe in this case you will need to have an enabling regulations or policy. Something that is going to actually manage to analyze this. It can be a consultative process that's going to end up with that. Or you actually say, what was this at this university would then become this. Doing it in a later period, we have an understanding, because the labels are different, but at the end of the day they were giving us the academies. So there's a price here and we all agree. And then in that way, if there's anything that is written and approved, there's not going to be a situation where people feel discriminated when they change the education case.
Honorable
Sir
Thanks. I think that's what I was trying to say before. Maybe Honorable Machaka is just saying it in fewer ways. I think that's what should happen. I am sitting here not convinced who came with the norm. Who came with the norm that whoever studied in those universities, it wasn't a full degree, because it is based against what? UCT, University of Natal. I'm not informed of that process sitting here. And I'm not saying it's false. I'm just saying it would be good, as she said, to get the two and say, okay, I'm satisfied that what I'm signing my name to or becoming party to is really what it is. At the moment, I don't have that information. But I don't know who came with the norm and said, you are falling off the norm and you are above the norm.
I'm not going to start before I start. Remember, you know, that people
people are busy having Soto, Swaziland, Botswana, Zimbabwe, are entitled to practice in the and when we admit them, we don't go into their degree to say whether it was 3 years or 4 years and so on. And why should we then have a rule here which would not even apply to foreign countries?
Chair, I understand there is a process for any foreigner when the recognition of foreign legal qualifications act that does apply. But Chair, I think we've got to see this clause in the context of the focus of this bill being on the Botswana Tonga. I think that's why it's referring to this. But if you look, you see there's another reference to this nebulous term Act of Parliament, and that is referring to candidate attorneys who also extend their time, and that is on page 8, which is capital 2B in the middle of the page. If you look under B there, and you'll see capital 2B, and it's the right of a candidate attorney to continue practicing. It says it lapses after 5 years or after such period as an Act of Parliament which in future rationalizes the legal profession may determine. Now again, I see those clauses as being affirmative in that a candidate attorney who might not have passed his board exams needs additional time. So that Act of Parliament is the legal aid, legal practice bill that will become the Act. Now we can try to look if we can put it into regulations, but maybe we can just canvas this by putting it into our memorandum to this Act. We, at the back there's a memorandum, and we say a clause there, any reference to an Act of Parliament means the legal practice bill. Then it's covered. If you can do it, because then it's not a nebulous Act. It is an Act that's about to be, it's a bill now that is about to be passed, and it doesn't need some Act in the future. We know then that the legal practice refers specifically to the legal practice bill. The difficulty is we can't refer to the Act now because it's still a bill. That is the difficulty we face with. It would be easy to say the Act of Parliament is the legal practice Act, but we can't say it's not because it's a bill. So maybe the way of covering both these two problems, which are basically an extension of periods to help people from disadvantaged backgrounds, is to make reference to that in a memorandum, and we can even make reference to it in a resolution of the committee as well. That is if we can't deal with it in regulations as was also being suggested.
So I see the, on that note, on that heading 3, the memorandum of objects refers to the pending the rationalization of the legal profession by means of the legal practice legislation. I don't know whether that would help in any way. In paragraph 2.1, the chair
members take me back
to, we will have a look at that clause on page 8 as well, but if I can take you back to the clause that we were busy on page 27. I must apologize. Maybe I need to go back to the Law Society and just find out exactly what it is that was intended. I should know and just slip my mind.
Do you know that even before you go back to this, can't we envisage a situation where someone for good reasons are not able to complete within the five years, which means that they will be prejudiced for life. Because if the issue is about compliance with the requirement of prejudice, then it shouldn't matter after how long you comply. But if we put it in the X line, it would mean that someone who is left with two courses, they are sick, and they are only recover after 5 years, then for life, they are disqualified.
Chair, I think once again, thank you. I think that's what I'm trying to raise. You can't legislate that because it blanches everybody. It doesn't deal with the case in its own merit. That's why I was saying, do you want to put it in a legislation or do you want it to be a supplementary policy that allows for those variations? Because you might not complete for real valid reasons. But if it is cast in stone like this, there's no mitigation. It really doesn't matter if that's how the route that you are going to take. So I support what you just said.
Mr. Buffett, I don't think we should rely on the law society on this matter. There are scenarios which are different ones. If I have studied law for 7 years and I missed compliance for 2 years because I'm sick, it means I must go and look for another profession.
Mm. Oh, because we are working, we are studying, why are we working?
So, what are we saying? That's not right.
Well, can I say I'm not sure, I do not know where that came from, but I would not imagine for one second that was the intention. I do not think that was the intention. As I said, it may have just been that.
That we were chosen to make our own mistake, other than inherit the mistake.
This is
seen the Honorable Majake. Majake, I think he is in order. The legislation itself is not in South Africa, so it's not here. We may have to address some of these issues in the regulations itself. Because he's not the one who finds himself in his court.
Can we leave the time, my friend? Let's have a week quickly before the Kassar comes.
The regulation.
What are we going to do?
I don't know now that we basically are agreeing about enabling the regulations, whether we should now make reference to regulations in the next year. Because then the regulations will take care of the time frames and everything.
therefore what are we saying? I know that we are saying it will be regulated, but are you then proposing that we discuss that time 10 years, or do we leave it up to them to, or do we just do not put a time frame?
No, you can complete the degree but go and become a prosecutor or go and do something else. And after 10 years you want to serve as kid, why should you be excluded?
And then therefore may I suggest that we do not put a time period. I don't know why lawyers wanted to put it, but
that
culture can change, because as you say, you could have worked in that 10 years. You might not even have worked in the legal fraternity, but that experience that you would have gained there is still experience. So I know they want to jump and kill us, as you say, to their culture, that, you know, they want that 3 years, but it can be very discriminated.
You see, in a normal society, these requirements are normal. But we are not dealing with a normal society. The playing field is not equal, it's not level. And creating all these requirements is going to prejudice other citizens. What are you saying?
I hear you, Chairman, but I do not think that is what the provision seeks to achieve. There's special reference to within such a period as an act of parliament which in the future rationalizes the legal profession. Now that is, in my view, and it's, remember I said I was not privy to this, but in my view that actually tells you that the intention is that when the legal practice is built becomes an act, it obviously will be stipulating for a different situation altogether in terms of how people who have been admitted under various pieces of legislation prior to its advent are then assimilated into the dispensation. Now, we did not want to make provisions which will impact on the legal practice in itself, same to create an environment where the legal practice will impact. Because remember, the legal practice will change the environment completely. Anything that deals with admission or status of an attorney prior to that will come to an end with the advent of the legal practice.
Now, if it's the president that stands to you today,
all the things that we are debating about, I have no effect.
So we're going to pass the law that we are not having effect tomorrow.
No, it's not supposed to. It seeks to amend an act that is going to come to an end at that time. It does not propose to create something else that will exist forever when there's intention to do away with that situation altogether.
All of you in this room have the right. I sense that there are many other people who have the right to do what you think about. Isn't that maybe at the end of the session?
Advocate Puna.
Now we will need the better.
Can we simply say that people who have obtained such a degree are entitled to enter into actions of flagship regulated by an act of parliament?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to speak to the issue of the time frame. I tend to be of the view that it shouldn't be there. There's no significance the time frame, because qualification to do articles is merely based on your obtaining a law degree. Now, when you decide to commence articles, because commencing articles is also an issue of employment, and there's no guarantee that you will get employment in the 3 years that you've completed the law degree. So instead of forming any problem, that keep time period there, just complete the issue, and I would suggest that there should be omitted. And the other issue relating to making of regulation, The other comment I wanted to make to you, Chair, is the issue relating to regulation, that there is a legislative drafting principle that says you can't control a power in the regulation that is not provided for in the Act. So to the extent that we want to make regulation, we would need to create some kind of principle which empowers the regulations to speak to the issue of conference and all other circumstances relating to commercial over.
I think this should cover all of us.
Yes.
I saw Mr. Bassett was struggling in remembering the long interpretation of 1957. Now you see in application. I think that makes absolute sense. Are we agreed now that you see, these are the brains which have been hiding. Now we are on page 38.
Okay,
now thank you very much for that contribution. Any other thing on page 28? I'm sure we could do, you know, we did the A list last time. I think we'll manage with the A list. It's just this particular last issue that we need to go and try and resolve.
Last time you said you'd do it overnight and you didn't. So we trust you. That brings us to the end of this.
To make provision for the relationship.